Hey everybody, and welcome to an unforgettable Wild Ride with Steve-O. This week we have Frankie Muniz, famously of Malcolm in the Middle. And if you Google Frankie Muniz, you will read that he can't even remember being on Malcolm in the Middle because of concussions or mini strokes, medical conditions. And we ask him about this. He gets to the bottom of this rumor for the very first time publicly ever. Wow, it's a big deal. And you know what else is a big deal? The holidays, man. And I want you to win your White Elephant Gift Giving Award with a gift that's going to make people laugh and they're actually going to use it. What gift is that? Well, it is the Lawnmower 4.0 from Manscaped, which is responsible for the young and sexy look I'm sporting right now. Man, do I love my Manscaped grooming products. Keep me looking young and fit. And I better look fit because I'm doing a photo shoot for Men's Health in 5 days. But besides the point, let's get you to win that gift-giving contest by stocking up on Manscaped gear and getting a 20% off plus free shipping bonus. That's right. If you go to manscaped.com/Steve-O, it's 20% off your order plus free shipping. And, dude, I use it. I love it. It's fun. It's funny. And you need to buy this for your loved ones for the holidays. So one more time, manscaped.com/Steve-O, 20% off your order plus free shipping. Now, let's get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, Frankie Muniz.
What's up?
Yeah, dude, man.
How's it going? Thank you
for doing this.
No, thanks for having me out. This is cool.
And you've met Scott Randolph.
And the
gorgeous Paul Brisky.
What's up, bro?
How's it going?
Great to meet you. We were talking about Arizona real estate before you got here.
Yeah, about that, dude.
Yep.
How long have you been in Phoenix?
I've actually lived here for 13 years.
Oh,
so
shit.
Kind of right after Malcolm ended, I bailed and came here and never looked back.
And it's true that you're a race car driver?
Yeah. Well, 2005, I started, when I was still doing Malcolm, I started racing a little bit and then kind of went into professionally after the show ended. I raced in Formula BMW, moved up into Champ Car Atlantics, had an IndyCar ride for 2010, but I broke my back, pins in my hand, a whole bunch of big injuries. And just by the time I healed, I started doing other things and always thought I'd go back racing and, you know. I guess there's still time.
Is it true that when you race, you actually like lose a lot of weight during the race?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, one thing people think with race car drivers is, oh, I drive all the time. I drive down the highway. Like, it's not a sport. It's not physical. You drive an open-wheel car, you're pulling 5 Gs in the corner. Your heart rate never drops below 180 beats per minute the entire 2 hours. It's like sprinting uphill for 2 hours.
Shit, you know what I mean?
So you'll lose 7-8 pounds a race easily.
And how do you go? Do you go pee at all? You're just losing so much liquid that you just sweat it all out.
There's times where right when the race is about to start, like I get in the car, I'm like, oh my God, I have to pee. And they tell you just pee in your suit. And there's two reasons. A, like you don't have time to get out. But B, if you crash with a full bladder, you're going to explode your bladder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Shit.
So just pee in your suit. It's fine.
Don't hold it.
Yeah. Don't
hold
it.
Have you ever peed in your suit?
I peed in my suit. But took away, you know, at first you're like, I don't want room. I got to get out. You know what I mean? Like, I got
to,
like.
If you win, you're going to have to, like, hug people and you're going to be covered in piss, you know?
Yeah. but no, it's one of those kind of as soon as the green flag goes out, your brain, like, you kind of forget it. You know what I mean? For me, at least.
Yeah.
You know, so.
That's crazy.
I don't know if you're like going on stage or something, and you're like, I gotta pee, but you go on stage and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I forgot.
Right.
Dude, that's me.
You know,
I have to pee before every
Scott
show.
Steps on stage and his heart rate never goes under 180 beats per
minute. Yeah. 8 pounds a week, a race.
Well, I only go there for 5 minutes and then I'm like, well, oh my God, this is not normal. And then I'm checking Steve's heart rate, it's like 51, 52. And I'm like,
just
how the fuck
alive.
Does that even happen, dude?
Everybody's different, man.
Yeah.
So I remember from, when you were younger doing Malcolm in the Middle, like you were like the kid with the obnoxiously flashy cars.
Yeah.
And that was kind of your deal. And I think at the time you were like maybe like barely legal age to drive.
Yeah.
and you had these crazy cars, and I got a kick out of that, man.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, too, getting ready to speak to you today and seeing that you're now 35 years old.
Yeah, I know. It's over.
I mean, it's
over.
Yeah.
It's over.
I mean, I just think of you as, like, because everybody does, thinks of you as a kid.
You know, so going back, cars were definitely my vice. You know what I mean? Like, I've always liked cars. Obviously, I went into racing and all that. But, like, even before that, I just loved cool cars. I loved driving.
Sure.
Now 35, you know, I look back and I think of my life 20 years ago. And I go, was that me? Like, that was pretty cool. You know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, now I have an 8-month-old son and a wife, and I drive a Mitsubishi.
You know, really?
Well, I had to get like a car for the baby. You know, baby car. You know?
Wow. Paul here was saying that he read something or saw something that that you have suffered a bunch of concussions, mm-hmm. which make it difficult for you to remember like the years of Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, it's an interesting. I've thought about it a lot, like over my years of like, you know, why do I have a bad memory? You know what I mean? The only logical thing I can say is, yeah, I've had 9 concussions. You know what I mean? Like
And they were all from cars?
No. When I was a kid playing basketball and getting tripped, I played football, you know, like peewee football, like just doing life things, sports. And, you know, there were some in car, like racing accidents, but, you know, for the most part, no, like it's not just that. But, and I've gone to a lot of doctors over it and looked into it. And I don't know, as weird as it sounds, I don't want to blame the concussions or blame anything else. I just think it's the fact that I did so fucking much.
Okay.
When in that time frame, that of course I can't remember all of it. You know what I mean?
Like, okay.
You know,
so you remember, you have some memory
I have some
of
memories,
it.
Memories. You know, like there's definitely things that pop up and I go like, whoa. But a lot of it, of my memories now, are almost like I can't distinguish if it was a dream or if it was reality.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like places I went, things I, you know, people I hung out, whatever it was. You know what I mean?
I heard something also
that. Did I really do that?
I heard something also that you've had like these mini strokes throughout your life.
Yes.
Is that related to the concussions, you know, or is that a separate thing?
This is why, maybe without getting into it, like I never trust doctors anymore the rest of my life. I went for a long time. I was having these episodes where I'd have like numbness and I couldn't really see, like I'd lose peripheral vision and all this stuff. And everyone was telling me like, you're having TIAs, transient ischemic attacks or mini strokes. And I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm healthy. Like, I don't do or, you know, I don't have any of the signs of people who would normally have those things. So like, it didn't make sense. So I went to a bunch of doctors and nobody could really give me like a straight up answer. So I had people kind of speculating. And of course, like I said what they were speculating. And now it turns out literally, after all that, and like if you search my name, like all it talks about is how like I have no memory or I'm dying of strokes
right.
and all this kind of stuff. And the reality is like I finally got diagnosed with aura migraines.
So just intense migraines.
Intense migraines that literally like those are the symptoms, and it's similar symptoms to transient ischemic attacks.
Okay.
And now all this time like I've been being told that and thinking that, where realistically like I just had some pretty intense migraines.
Got you. But the story's out there. It's too late now. It's like,
you search my name, it's basically framing me as dying.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not, it's
like, he doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know what's going on.
He doesn't even know that he was Malcolm. I'm like,
yeah.
No, I,
that's the impression
no,
I got. That was kind of the headline
right.
I read. Like,
I know.
He doesn't even know.
And it's funny because like, I've never talked about it. I did Dancing with the Stars 4 years ago now.
Wow, we've had a lot of guests that have done Dancing with the Stars.
I did Dancing with the Stars.
Did you have fun? Did you enjoy it?
I did not enjoy it, man.
I loved it.
You know what I love? Taking a humongous, healthy, complete shit. And I also love a sponsor that encourages me to use the word shit. And that sponsor, ladies and gentlemen, is Squatty Potty. I am proud to tell you that I've been using Squatty Potty for at least 7 years before I was introduced to the company professionally. Yeah, dude, I swear by it. I'm loyal to it. And I won't poop in any other position. What is this? It's a little stool that goes in front of your toilet so you can elevate your legs while you're taking a dump, and that will allow you to have a complete bowel movement. Because you see, the human body wasn't designed to sit on a toilet. I mean, cavemen, they were crouching in the woods, man, pooping. And they were in the right position, and people these days aren't, unless they're using squatty potty. So I'm telling you, for your own bowel health, to avoid all kinds of bad health problems, use squatty potty and take a more satisfying, complete, and healthy shit. Yeah, plus, if you go to squattypotty.com/Stevo, you get 20% off your order. And just in time for the holidays to give people another funny, winning Elephant Man gift that they will actually use. I'm telling you, I'm all about Squatty Potty. So go to squattypotty.com/Stevo and get 20% off your order. And hurry up, because they're the best. Good people, too. Now, let's talk dancing. I can't blame the show. And I, yeah. And like, after my season, I went back. And, you know, I was a friend of the show. And yeah, I would go to, like, the following seasons and sit in the audience and stuff. It was just, like, uncomfortable for me, man. I was newly sober. And I was, like, in a really awkward phase of my life. And it's an awkward thing to do, man. Yeah. You know?
Well,
how'd you do on the show?
I did pretty good. I made it to the finale.
Wow.
So that's top two?
That's top three.
Top three. Yep. Cool. I was a nervous wreck every single time I had to go out and say it. Like, I was a disaster. Because, like, I'm a little neurotic. Like, I want to be not perfect, but, like, I want to do my best. You know what I mean? And I put a lot of pressure on myself. But that's, like, that competitive, like, nature in me that I just want to be the best I can be. So, like, I would be in rehearsal maybe 12 hours a day. Like, longer than anybody. I think I broke the record for most rehearsing in a season. But that's just the way.
12 hours a day?
If not more.
Jeez.
That was, like, in the studio. Like, then I go home and, like, practice, too. Because I'm a fool.
Wow. Were you like that with, like, rehearsing lines and stuff always and shit like that?
That was always easy for me. Like, I would look at it once or twice before I went to bed. And, like, I'd wake up in the morning and somehow I'd just know it. You know, so that was never, like, a thing. But I'm not a dancer. You know what I mean?
Right.
At all. And, you know, they'd been asking me to do the show for, like, 12 years, like, all seasons. I was like, no. Hell no. I don't dance. Like, it's not my personality. Like, I'm...
Right.
Even though I'm in the entertainment business, I'm pretty shy, I think. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, like, I don't want to be seen. You know what I mean? I'm more like, I'll be over here. You know, give me my lines. I'll say my lines, and I'll go back to my trailer. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not Hollywood or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But I did it, and I'll say the first episode, the first, like, time I went on stage, it was one of the coolest feelings I've ever felt. Like, hearing, like, the crowd go crazy, like, when I know it and I killed it. So I was really excited. So I enjoyed it. But anyway, I was bringing that up because I was talking about that's kind of where the story came from of my memory.
Mm-hmm. From their little storyline on the show?
Yeah, because they have an episode, like, most memorable year. And to be honest, like, I love Dancing with the Stars, and I don't want to, like, say anything that'll make them hate me, but they kind of tell you what your most memorable year is going to be. You know what I mean? And they were like, it's 2001 because it's when you were nominated for an Emmy and a Golden Globes and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, we want you to talk all about it. And I go, I don't remember what I felt then. Yeah. Like, I don't, you know, and so it was me kind of blowing off the fact that, like, I can't say that's my favorite year because, like, I can't tell you what happened in 2001. Right. You know what I mean? Like, you would have to tell me what happened in 2001.
They're like, Frankie Muniz can't even remember.
But they didn't really say it. It just kind of, like, the storyline in my episode then was, like, you know, I as cheesy as it is, I said my most memorable year is the present because I've learned through all my past to live in the moment, like, accept everything for what it is, whatever, right? And I brought up, like, the fact that, like, I had to say, I don't really remember, but I wasn't saying I don't remember anything. I was just saying,
right.
If that's you told so me what funny. I ate for breakfast the day that I went to the, when I was nominated for an Emmy, I go, I have no idea. You know what I mean? Like,
dude, that's so funny. I was under the impression, like, someone had to tell you, like, no, dude, you were on this show, Malcolm in the Middle, and it was a big show. And you're
that's
like,
how he described it to me.
That's how I always thought it was. And you'd be watching the episodes,
he
like,
has no
what?
Recollection I'll say this. Of being
this
on
is,
that
that's
show.
This is the first time that I've actually ever gotten to clarify.
Oh, well, great, dude. We're going to cut this clip out and we'll send it out, dude.
You're going to cut this clip out and it's.
This is not even fair. We're going to skip this part.
Continue the lie.
Well, no, we'll promote this, dude. This is a big deal.
Well, it's just funny because, like, you know, I have people write me all the time, like, oh, it's so sad that you don't. I'm like,
That's why.
I don't know. Right. Like,
hi, Frankie. How are you?
Well, right. My wife, you just met, I am afraid to forget memories now. As you know what I mean? Like, because, like, or good moments. Like, I want
journal them.
So she has journaled, like, our entire relationship. You know what I mean?
Right, because she thinks you're going to forget
Carol Baskin.
No. I might need it eventually. No, yeah. I just like to be able to go back because when I read it on paper, it brings me back to that moment completely. You know what I mean? And even now having a son, like he's 8 months old, and I go like, how is he 8 months old? You know, because I remember him how he is right now. It's not that I don't remember. But I see him right now, right. So I can't remember him being this big.
Just like any other normal person journals.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because I have a problem with my memory too, but like I also read that like smart people do that because they have so much bandwidth going in that they purposely just let it go out because if they retain it all, they're going to lose their fucking mind.
I think that is, I mean, I'm definitely smart, so yeah. No, I'm kidding. No, I think that's more of it, to be honest, like is, especially if you think, I started acting when I was 8, Malcolm when I was 12 to 20, you know, like I was literally every moment of my life from when I started acting until I stopped, I had to be somewhere and had to do something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there becomes a point, I think, where you just kind of start
just in one ear out the other.
Yeah, floating, but you just kind of, you do what you got to do and you go where you need to go and you do your best job, but then you forget it.
Well, it's crazy because like, you know, I found that I had this problem and then I'd go to Steve. I'm like, dude, I can't remember it. And Steve can remember the month and the year to a T, but like his third grade teacher said to him line by line. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, your memory's crazy.
I generally have a really good memory,
yeah,
particularly for dates and stuff like that. However, I totally relate to what you were saying about, you know, so much stuff happened. Like, for example, if I were to sit down and watch an episode of my old show Wild Boys, which we taped all over the world from 2003 to 2005, I'm sure that a bunch of the scenes that were, I have no recollection
I did that.
Yeah.
I did that? Like, absolutely. I should remember
wait,
that.
Wait, I would
absolutely not, like, I would feel like I was watching a bunch of that stuff for the same time. And it's specifically because what Frankie said, just so much happened.
Right.
Yeah.
So there was just so much going on all the time. So yeah, I wouldn't.
Wow.
I got to watch, I never watched Malcolm. You know, when it was on, you kind of film it. But now with like the streaming services, like you can sit down and just kind of crank through. And my wife had never seen it. So we watched it a few years ago. And I truly could watch it as like a fan because I really didn't know what was going to happen.
I could watch it as a fan because I'm fucking awesome. Well,
I don't see it as me. Right, I'm saying like, you know.
You're from an outsider's perspective.
Yeah, I get to go in. But also because when you film, I filmed the parts I was in. I don't really know what else they filmed in the show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that turned out or the other storylines.
So you wouldn't
watch
it when it aired?
No.
Like a viewing party with your buds?
Oh, no. I was always kind of more like embarrassed to like, I don't know, just kind of awkward. You know?
Said 12 to 20, so 8 or 9 years.
It was 7 seasons, 151 episodes. Those years. So
and that was like network television when network television was still like, you know,
it was pre-internet, but barely, like, you know,
YouTube.
Yeah, it was. There was no YouTube. There was no social media.
Right.
It was
network TV or basic cable. And that was it.
It was crazy though, because like, you know, obviously as an actor or anything that you do, right? You know, I remember auditioning and I didn't want to go to the audition. Because I was supposed to film a Pizza Hut commercial that day. And I was like, Mom, we cannot be late to the Pizza Hut commercial. She's like, we'll go early. So we went in. The casting director wasn't even there. She walked in. We're like, can we just be seen real fast? I went in. I was like, like, I don't even care. Just say the words. I got to go. Pizza Hut. You know what I mean? This is my big break. And and they call and they're like, you're Malcolm. So you get the pilot. You film the pilot, you know, and you think there's what? Of 200 pilots a year.
Right.
6 or 7 get picked up, and then what they get picked up, and only 2 of those make it past episode 7. You know what I mean? Before they get. And so I remember every step of the way just being like, whoa, this is happening. And the first time we lived in New Jersey, and I auditioned for stuff in New York City. We lived like 10 miles from New York City. And we took the subway, and there was Malcolm in the Middle posters all over the subway. And someone like came up to me and was like, oh, you're going to be on that show. That's you. And I was like, that was the coolest thing in the history of life.
Wow.
But then you still don't think anyone's going to watch it. Like, you don't know. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't feel like, I feel like now people have an idea if something's going to be super successful.
Well, did you know what channel it was going to be on?
It was on Fox. We knew it was going to be, it was
everybody's going to watch that shit, dude.
Well, I don't know, you know, and the first episode aired and 23 million people tuned in.
Oh, fuck.
And Jesus. Then they re-aired it on Wednesday and 28 million people tuned in.
Wow. You know what I mean?
Crazy. And then we knew, we were like, oh, wow, this is going to be pretty.
Well,
pretty
cool. How many people were watching Jackass like season one?
I mean, dude, it would be like the most was like 4 million
on MTV.
Well, because it was cable too. Yeah. Like this was network. Like I didn't have cable, but like I would watch Malcolm in the Middle. You know,
yeah, network TV was a much bigger deal than basic cable.
Yeah.
So your mom took you to auditions and stuff. Was your mom like managing your career and stuff?
I don't know if she ever fully took on that label or that role, but like it was. You know, when I was a kid, I'd go from football practice to a baseball game to, you know, auditions to tap and jazz, whatever it was. You know what I mean? So she just kind of made sure I got where I needed to go, and then it took over my life. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and it took over her life too. You know what I mean? So I'm super grateful for her to think now of like, wow, I could have had a parent that was like, no, we're not going. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I want
to
do my own
thing. It's exhausting to do all that stuff. Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, and so you had earned, I'm guessing, a whopping amount of money by the time you turned 18.
Mm-hmm.
And so does that mean that, Aaron Carter was telling us that they just, like, established some law that parents have to, like, save, like, 15%.
The Coogan law.
The Coogan law. So I automatically, like, a check from Fox doesn't go to me. Whatever the percentage is, I forget what it is, goes to a trust. Like, it goes into, like, an account that you can't touch until you're 18. Because there's been, supposedly in the past, so many kid actors that they work and the parents spend all the money.
Right.
You know, and so at least they would have that, maybe it's 15% or 20%.
It's unbelievable that they passed a law to say that parents can only blow 85%.
Yeah. You know? So, but were your parents pretty, like, good with the money and stuff? And
yeah,
like,
I mean, we hired, you know, business managers and stuff like that.
Smart.
You know, right away. Yes, I'm very fortunate in that sense. Like, my mom never wanted to spend any money. Like, you know, we were always very, I call the frugal, you know what I mean? Like,
outside of the cars.
Outside of the car. Well, that was, like I said, it was my one,
right,
you know, thing where I go, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? But, but no, pretty.
I mean, you could have done a lot worse, though. Because I also read, maybe this isn't true, because I read a lot, but like you never really got into drugs or drinking or anything like that.
I've never drank. I've never done anything at all.
Dude, so you could have blown a lot there.
And like, did life ever get crazy? I grew up at 15, 16 years old going to the Playboy Mansion every night. So
okay. So that's what I was going to say. Like, so life did get kind of crazy. Like, you were like a kid celebrity. You weren't just like, I go to work, then I go home, and I'm just a normal kid. You were like
a
celebrity.
I never enjoyed going out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that's part of it. Like, I went out, like, I'd go out every once in a while, and I just would get home at 2:30 in the morning and be like, why? That was so stupid. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't my thing. But I have stories for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Of crazy life experiences. Good.
I mean, what was the Playboy Mansion like for a 15-year-old?
What's being at the Playboy Mansion like for a 15-year-old kid? Can we say, boing? I mean, dude, hard as a rock. And you know what makes me extra hard as a rock? Taking Blue Chew tablets, baby. If you haven't tried them, let me tell you, they are an unbelievable amount of fun. Plus, it's very easy to get them because you don't have to go to an awkward, uncomfortable, in-person doctor appointment to get your prescription. You just go to BlueChew.com and consult with one of their medical providers, and boom, it's so fast and easy. And next thing you know, you have an entire month's supply of Blue Chew tablets, which have the same active ingredient as both Viagra and Cialis, except they're chewable and cost only a fraction of the price. But get this, if you use the promo code STEVO at BlueChew.com, you get that entire month's supply of Blue Chew tablets absolutely for free. All you gotta pay is $5 for shipping. So, how about getting hard as a rock, baby, by going to BlueChew.com, using the promo code STEVO, and getting a whole month's supply absolutely for free. Just pay $5 for shipping. And your boner can thank me later. Yeah, dude. Now let's see what the Playboy Mansion was like for Frankie Muniz.
Heaven.
Did you lose your virginity at the Playboy Mansion? No,
not at the Playboy Mansion, but definitely.
That he remembers. Yeah.
Those I remember.
I bet. Wow.
So did you like get invested in like real estate and stuff? Like, I just think, fuck, man, if I had like been better with investments, if I'd gotten like real estate like early on or like whatever, like
I did. I unknowingly made choices, not unknowingly, like just thought it was like on a whim kind of things that worked out really well. You know what I mean? I was never the type of person where I was like, oh, I got to think strategically. It was more like, oh, this seems cool. And like I'd buy a house or like, you know, I had a bunch of houses at one time and the market went crazy. So I made a ton of money on them. You know what I mean? Right. But it was never like, you know, people, I own some parking lots in downtown LA.
Wow.
Which, nice.
Then you know, downtown LA from, I don't know, 2002, there was really nothing there. And now it became like a pretty trendy, there's so much down there. Mm-hmm. So I did really well there. So there's stuff like that.
You still have them?
No, I sold them in 2006. I wish I had them now because then they'd be worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Was like an apartment building built there?
Yeah, 2006 was a pretty good time to get out.
Yes. Well, yes, in the sense that right before the big housing crisis that we were talking about.
But if you still had it now.
If you still had it now, like now it's right. Things are
well, and like the stupid. Monthly income from that is just fucking crazy.
Right.
You know, you have like one or two employees who take money all day from cars. You know what I mean? And there's like no overhead. Pimp. Every once in a while they paint the lines.
Right.
Yeah, no overhead.
Yeah.
No, where what streets were your parking lots
we
on?
We were all around Staples Center.
All around, so you had a lot.
Yeah.
Jesus, dude.
Dude, how, way to go,
how
man,
do you think
great.
To get in the parking lots? Who tells you that?
I'm a weird person in the sense that, like, when I was a kid, I wanted to be, like, a garbage man or I wanted to be a train conductor. And I always, like, I want to own storage facilities. That's just where my brain goes. And that was one of those where I was like, why don't we buy this? Because even if you're only charging $5 a car, which people down here are charging $20 to park, you know what I mean? We could be the cheap lot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're going to have people all day coming through. And I don't know.
I have to say that I'm absolutely fascinated by this conversation, man. I just feel compelled to thank you again one more time for doing this, dude. It was so rad. You don't do a great deal of interviews.
Not these days, no. I moved here in 2008, not to hide, but like I wanted to focus on other things. You know what I mean? And I did that, and now I'm at a, you know, interesting time in my life. I feel like where I've grown a lot, just by having stepped away. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Right.
And I'm happy with myself. Not that I wasn't, but you know what I mean. Like I just kind of like where I'm at in my life. And I don't know.
What's a day in the life like for you? You wake up, you check your massive portfolio. You have coffee. You jump into a Bugatti and race a few laps.
No. It's funny because the last 3 or 4 years with my wife, we've had just the most kind of stressful, crazy things happen to us. I was telling you that my cat, we had a brownstone down here in downtown Phoenix, a 5-story brownstone. My cat turned on the faucet on the top floor when we were gone for 3 days, and 1 million gallons of water destroyed our brownstone, everything I own, piece of art, every picture, every piece of furniture.
Fuck.
So like that took 2 years to rebuild. We finally got it done and we realized like we had like PTSD from it and built on that. So like stuff like that like takes over your life. Cause like then we actually bought a bus and we tore it around a little bit just while the house was being rebuilt and just kind of stuff like that. But every day people go, oh, what are you up to? And I don't know what to say. But I'm so fucking busy all the time, and it does bother me because I'm like, I should be. People think I probably have like the easiest life ever because I don't have a 9-to-5. I don't really, you know what I mean. But like, we're always just busy with. I'm involved in kind of so many different little businesses and things here and there that like they take up all my time.
Yeah.
But I am getting back. No one knows this either. I shouldn't. I'm not technically supposed to announce it yet, but I am going back racing next year full time, for the first time in 12 years, and just signed a big deal and excited to do that.
Yeah. Wow. Do you not want to get into it? That we don't have to.
Not that I don't want to, but I just
you can't.
Yeah, because I'm. You know.
Yeah.
Should we cut that out, or that just that at least that little bit is all right?
We can cut
maybe
that
we'll
out.
Announce before.
Yeah, okay.
We're really close to
cool.
making the big announcement.
And is it what like NASCAR, Formula One, or just okay?
Yeah,
something like that.
One of those.
It's
things.
Something I haven't raced before, but very big.
Got it.
Wow, dude.
Wow.
Do you have to train for that?
I have been on. I've been on the road every day for the last basically 3 months in a car, testing, doing
around the streets.
No, like tracks all over. Mostly in Southern California, like Havasu, Tucson, kind of close to here, but just to get as much experience as possible. Because it's even though I raced before, it's like equivalent to saying I'm a Olympic swimmer and an Olympic diver. You know what I mean? They both involve water, but they're completely two different sports. That's kind of what I relate the two different forms of racing to.
Gotcha.
Wow.
Epic. When So I also saw a thing that was like that, you know,
Jesus,
after Malcolm,
you're dying.
After Malcolm, you were trying to get into like more serious roles and it just didn't like click for you.
You know, it's funny. I've done some serious roles and I enjoy them the most of anything I've ever done. It was also more when Malcolm ended, I got signed to BMW to race cars. And I said to my agent's manager, I said, go, this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'm not trying to just do it as a hobby. Like, I want to be the best I can be. And like anything, if you want to do something the best, you've got to put in the time, you know mm-hmm. what I mean, in the work. You know, so I didn't think that it was humanly possible to continue acting or continue in the entertainment business while doing the racing thing. So that's one thing. Like, I'm so happy I went racing. I love every aspect of it. Now it's becoming a part of my life again.
Yeah.
And I think in the biggest way it could. But I look back and I go, did I make a mistake leaving in the height of my career? Like when I had hundreds of offers, I could have kept going nonstop. And I said, no, I don't want to. Where now I look back and not that like I actively am pursuing trying to be an actor, but I go, I wonder what my life would have been if I stayed. In that same sense, I look back and I go, thank goodness I left because I appreciate life in general more because I've started taking more in and
mm-hmm.
I look back at the success I had and I go, that was really cool. You know, I think
that you made the healthier move.
Definitely.
And I don't think I ever would have been able to do that.
Yeah.
I think that I'm like just so chronically like attention seeking and external validation oriented that I would never be able to do that.
I feel like, and I don't want you or anyone to take this the wrong way, I'm so much of a happier person.
Oh, I bet.
Having stepped away. Not like being out of the limelight. None of that. Like just, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to, it's a weird.
I've never been happier like in my life, like for some living in Arizona. Like something about Arizona was like, I was like, content.
Well, it's funny that you say that because like when I moved here, I realized as cheesy as this sound, I started looking up for the first time, like looking
the clouds, the weather, the mountains, the long distance.
Yeah, rather than like I don't know in LA, I just kind of like kept my head down, like literally kept my head down all the time.
A lot of sharks in LA. I think people want something from you everywhere you go in LA.
Yeah.
So maybe you just kind of like shrink.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like this is where I was supposed to be. I was told by, I went to New Orleans when I was like 11 and got my palm read. And the palm reader like told me all this stuff. And they go, do you want to know who you were in your past life? I was like, sure. And he goes, you were a judge defending the Native Americans in the Southwest. And he goes, that's why you're drawn to the Southwest. At the time, I'd never been west of the Mississippi River. I'm from New Jersey. You know what I mean? I was like the Southwest. The minute I came here, I was like, this is where I'm supposed to be. You know what I mean? It's weird. So I don't fully believe in that stuff, but at the same time, I go like, I think he was onto something.
Yeah.
Damn. What was it like for you watching Bryan Cranston's like resurgence with, you know?
You know, not like, no lie, he's the greatest human being alive. Like, as an actor, as a person, like, he'd show up every single day. And you know when you do something every day, you kind of, like, you can get annoyed with, oh, it's already done. Never. He was so happy to, like, to be there and so great to the crew and so great to everyone. So, in my head, he's, like, my idol, because I'd like people to say that same thing about me.
Mm-hmm.
But no one deserves it more. Never mind the fact that he's an incredible actor. I mean, right. He's done now so many different things. And I don't think anyone can beat him.
You keep in touch with him still?
You know, it's funny. I don't know, you know, people you're on your shows with or whatever, like, you always go, oh, we're going to stay best friends forever, right? Everyone kind of says that. Like summer camp. You go to summer camp. Oh, we're going to write each other every single day. We're going to be best friends. And then you go home and everyone kind of starts living their life and you just kind of forget. Bryan reaches out to me every 2 weeks and he has for 15 years.
Wow.
Like, literally reaches out to be like, just checking on you. Hope you're well. What are you up to? Like, he's literally Hollywood God and he calls me.
He's fucking Heisenberg.
You know, he's the best.
I'm a piece of shit.
No, me too, dude. Every time I see a friend, I'm like, dude, why don't I call you? Like, right. I'm so sorry.
I've never reached out to anybody.
Right, yeah.
I mean, here's the thing, too, that I'll have a little thought to myself, like, oh, you know, like,
I should
reach out to somebody just get them stoked, you know? Man, it'd make me feel good if I, like... And I have that thought, and then it just flutters away, and I don't do anything.
And then you check your social media, how many likes you got on the last post.
Or like, if I call, what was I doing again? And they don't pick up, it's like, well, I tried. Like, right. You know, now I'm never going to try for 2 years.
Yeah. Speaking of living in Arizona, are we making it official?
Yeah, dude. We're going to lose.
I'm moving to Tucson in, like, June.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's Paul bringing you there?
My girlfriend... Lived there for a long time.
It's fiance, pal.
Fiance.
She's getting, nice. She's getting red.
My fiance lived there for a long time. And she moved out to LA, like, to be with me. And we're just ready for a change.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got... It's like you know? Like, I'm at... You know, no. I'm just but, I don't know. Just time for a change and, like, buy a house and kick it a little bit.
I mean, you're probably, like, one of the top five YouTube editors living. Right, because that didn't that article come out of you guys during the pandemic where you guys were like top, like, five YouTube channels?
Yeah, like what to watch during the pandemic, and they were like, "Dude, Steve-O's YouTube channel is fucking top notch editing, and it's all him."
So, you know, maybe I'll find a way to stay involved. I'd like to find a way to stay involved. Plus, now I've been opening for Steve on these shows.
Yeah, which is these are my openers.
Nice. Now he's a touring comedian.
Insanely enticing to keep touring.
Yeah,
I'd be such a fool to pass that up. So we'll see. But I am very likely moving to Tucson in June.
Cool. Yeah, I'm glad because we Steve dropped the news on the last podcast at the very end. People were like, "Wait, what? You're leaving on the outro?"
And I was just trying to, like, be decisive, you know. So I was like, "I'm leaving in February," but now it's different.
So. Yeah. And what do you think the real estate market's doing in Arizona? Do you think it's going to go down soon, or you think it's going to go up? What advice do you have?
I'll say this. 2 years ago, it's kind of the same throughout a lot of the country now. 2 years ago, pre-pandemic, the houses you could have bought will now cost you double here. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's, to me, it's stupid. But I don't know. Everyone has a lot of money, supposedly. So, but I don't know
that much. But.
I think Arizona might fare better than other places because this is a place a lot of people are moving to. You know what I mean? A lot of people are leaving. You know, the LAs, the New Yorks, you know, the kind of bigger cities. They want still a big city, but more space or more spread out. Right now, we've been open for a year and a half, too.
Yeah.
So I think that brought a lot of people here, where other states had, like, super lockdown. You know, so I think that's part of it. So I still see, because COVID is still a thing and still, you know, I think going to shut down some places again.
You think so?
I mean, Santa Clara, some county in California just said you can't even be in your house without a mask on. They said that yesterday.
No shit.
Yeah, like, you're not allowed to go anywhere without a mask, not even in your house, is what they literally said yesterday.
Wow, so that's a little much.
It's so funny, like, traveling through different state to state, like how lax they are on laws, and some places, like, they're checking the vaccine cards at the door. Other places are like, Arkansas, nobody gave a fuck about masks.
I was surprised in Denver we were walking into stores, no masks.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they were checking vax cards at the venue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's interesting. I don't know. I don't know if that, in my head, I think, because they're, like, over a million people moved here in the last year and a half to Phoenix, Scottsdale. Like literally the population went from 2 million to, like, 3.5. Crazy. You know, like, it's growing insane. And that's the only logic to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And the weather's good. I mean, summers are hot, but the rest of the
summers are
good.
Gnarly.
But the 9 months out of the year, the weather is the best weather in the world.
Yeah.
I would say.
And it cools down at night, which I always like.
But summer, you want to probably have a summer house. Yeah.
Do you have that, or you'd stay here for the summer?
We stay here. I mean, I don't mind the heat. Granted, if I was like a roofer or a construction worker, I'd probably think differently. But, you know, you go from your air-conditioned house into an air-conditioned garage, into your air-conditioned car, and you park, and there's misters that mist you into the air-conditioned building you're going into. It's made for the heat. Sure. It's also super dry. I lived in New Orleans and, you know, even on the East Coast where, like, it's 85, but it's 100% humidity. Like, to me, that's way more uncomfortable than 120 here in my head.
For sure.
But it's like in the driver's seat of a car, like on a race. You just drip and sweat.
Yeah. Do you yourself have siblings?
I have a sister.
Okay.
She's a year and a half older. She lives in Atlanta. She's the reason I got into acting, to be honest, because she wanted to be an actress. I was kind of like the kid who just did everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a summer arts, like, little theater camp, and they put on Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat at the end of the summer or whatever, and I thought it was pretty cool. So she was going to be auditioning for another play, and we were jumping on the trampoline, and she's like, you should audition. She picked me a song. She picked me Let's Go Fly a Kite from Mary Poppins, and I went in, and I sang it, and it was for a Christmas carol, and I got the part of Tiny Tim. An agent saw me literally at the first rehearsal, signed me, and from that day until I left acting when I was 20, I never stopped.
Wow.
So, like, it was, like I said, it truly was a thing that just took over, you know what I mean, for my family.
Yeah, you were just riding, like, a wave, basically.
Like, whoa, where are we going?
Do you keep in touch with any other childhood actors?
No.
It's like a small crew of you guys.
Yeah, most of them are pretty weird.
Bud Bundy. Are you guys about the same age?
No, he's a little older.
No, he's more like Hillary Duff, Amanda Bynes.
Yeah,
age,
yeah.
Are his peers.
He
did really well with, you know, saving his money and being wise with it. He's like insanely wealthy, I think.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, to be honest, I honestly can say that I'm a pretty bad friend. Seriously, like, I'm, you know, I have so many amazing people in my life that, like, I want to be great friends with, but I don't know. I never kind of.
I'm a very tight circle kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've got a small number of people who are very close to me, and I pride myself on having really,
like a close
quality
group.
People around me, like. But yeah, outside of that super inner circle, dude, I'm a piece of shit.
Well, I just, like, I'm really bad at communication.
Sure.
Like, I hate texting. I'm old school. Like, I'd like to actually, I'll talk to you on the phone all day. You know what I mean? I get a text message and I go, I'll respond later. But then it's not new anymore and it just keeps going down. And then I realize, like, a month later that I didn't write back. You know what I mean? So, like, that's what I mean. Like, I'm just a bad friend. Cause, like,
and then
I just
you're, like,
read.
About to text that person. Then you see that message they sent you, like, a month ago. Like,
yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm just seeing this now. Yeah. Sorry. Also, can you help me move? Or, you know, like, whatever you're saying.
I got to say that.
That sounds
like,
a little too
know.
Specific. Yeah.
Sorry, Dave.
I've had to say that so many times that, like, I can't use it anymore. Like, I don't know why my phone didn't send it until right now.
Right.
Like,
how am I now just seeing this? I have no idea. But
yeah, there's a certain type of person who doesn't give a fuck about texting. And there's a certain type of person who gets really butthurt by that.
Yeah, Scott will text me. Like, if I'm not at work, I just don't usually respond to text much. He gets...
Yeah, well, come to find out, you're completely checked out when you get out of work. I didn't know you had a secret fucking microdosing problem. I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense. Because, like, you just...
I don't know, a secret microdosing problem. I just like
microdosing a lot. No, but I'm like, well, that makes sense why you wouldn't respond. Because, like,
that's so funny.
You know, you text
does
somebody.
Does Jason have a lot of peyote or something?
That's why he's moving here.
Yeah, I'm going there for the...
The ostriches and the peyote.
Yeah, for sure.
Have you been to that ostrich farm down in Tucson?
No.
I've always wanted to go. Have you been?
No.
Didn't you ride some ostriches?
We rode ostriches in South Africa, I think it was. And I feel awful about that today.
I'm sorry.
Why? Because you felt bad for the ostrich?
I think that it wasn't the kindest treatment of an ostrich.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be too stoked.
We can cut that out, too.
I don't give a fuck. I mean, I'm not going to, like, hide from my past.
Okay, speaking of hiding from your past, mm-hmm. has anyone approached you about, like, a Malcolm in the Middle reunion or, like, Agent Cody Banks 3 or anything like that?
To be honest, both. And they were actually kind of real. Like, 5 years ago, pre-anything making a re-emergence. You know, now right. I feel like every show has come back sure. to where, like, people don't really care about shows coming back.
Right.
We were talking about it. Brian was leading it because he wants to do it again. And we got everyone on board except for one person. But they want to make it a movie. And I don't fully understand it, but I'd be thrilled. You know what I mean? Because it'd be cool to kind of see where Malcolm and his family are 20 years later, whatever mm-hmm. it is. But I don't know what's happened with that. I know Brian's been writing a script and stuff like that. So wow. we'll see what happens there. But then Agent Cody Banks, MGM has – maybe I'm not allowed to say this. I don't know, but I'm saying it anyway. MGM has two really cool ideas for Agent Cody Banks. One is like a BoJack Horseman type cartoon of Agent Cody Banks. Like, what happens when you're when you've saved the world as a kid? Like – and you can't better that.
Hilarious.
You know what I mean? Like, and just down on it. Like, you know, oh, we can call James Bond. He's busy. I guess call Cody Bank. You know, he's uh-huh. a last resort. You uh-huh. know, that dad bod.
Amazing.
You know, now.
Amazing.
I think it'd be hilarious.
It's really, yeah.
Agent Cody Banks, if you guys don't know, it was like a teenage special agent movies sure. that.
I think
that
I watched it in my 30s.
Okay.
I'm down for that shit.
The yeah. cool, the cool
but
thing,
that's funny.
Yeah, the cool thing now is, like, you know, the kids who watched it in 2003 are 25, 30 years old, you know mm-hmm. what I mean, who would be into that type of thing.
Right.
So they've come to me with that, which, like I said, maybe me bringing it up will light the fire.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a really fun idea.
I think it's hilarious.
And then they have another idea for it still being like a kid's thing, where I'm like Cody Banks teaching the new crop of young teenage guys.
What was the one that's in the tailor shop and it's like...
Oh, Kingsman.
Kingsman, yeah.
Those movies are really cool.
Yeah, so you would be like a Kingsman type, like training.
Train like the young, yeah.
You like the Kingsman?
I mean, we went and watched it, right?
I really like those. I like all those kind of movies.
I think movies in general, just like, I can only suspend so much disbelief, you know, like, before I start thinking, okay, this is just...
I'm not usually into, like, the big, crazy action movies. Like, I mean, to be honest, I've never seen any of the Marvel movies. Like,
I can't get through a Marvel movie.
But, like, Kingsman, I really, really yeah, enjoyed.
That's cool.
Because I don't know. It's been just
dude, cool. I love just that, fun. Man. And, like, I'm rooting for you to pull that stuff off, man. That's we'll killer.
See. Yeah.
So that cartoon sounds hilarious.
We could be going into an exciting time, dude. Getting back in the race car, getting back in front of the camera.
Yeah, it is. It's weird, you know, because I don't know where I'll be in 6 months.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, I know I'm going to be racing now, but, you know, like, normally in my life, I go, I have no idea where I'm going to be. But what we do have coming up is the most that I've had coming up.
So the potential is...
The potential is...
The biggest as it's ever been.
So you're about to lose your memory again.
I can't remember, yeah.
Are you still drumming?
Not, you know, it's so funny that you ask. I haven't touched a drumstick since my last show with my band at the University of Wyoming on February 13th, 2013.
There's a memory.
It's a memory.
February 13th, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So 8 years I haven't touched a drumstick. And in my head, I go, we were on tour with Ed Sheeran, like opening up arenas.
Wow.
You know
wow.
what I mean? Like, you know, playing in front of arenas. I go, I can't go from like playing in front of an arena full of people to playing in my bedroom by myself. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not in a band. I do miss my band. Like, I loved the band and the music and like the camaraderie of mm-hmm. the guys. But at the same time, like, I know that is not some like a lifestyle that, not that the lifestyle was bad, but like I can't be on the road
sure
that much. We in 2013 we pl- or 2014 No, I'm sorry. February 13, 2014. 2013, we played 300 shows. So, like, we were literally on the road the entire year.
Tour bus?
No, like, 15-passenger van that I was driving with the trailer, sleeping on floors. Like, we did it, like, that way. Roughing it. You know what I mean? We roughed it.
From arena to arena like that?
Mm-hmm.
What do you get paid as an opening act for Ed Sheeran?
It depended. Like, if we were playing at, like universities or colleges, like, $7,500 to $12,000.
Split between you guys?
Split between us. You know, but most of the shows we'd get $1,500, $2,000 guarantees, which, like, it works. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we made money as a band, which is pretty rare.
But you also a big band, 10x you know? That on your parking lots that you own.
Yeah. You know? I was telling you how I'm frugal. Like, I'm the one, they'd be like, let's get hotels. And I'd be like, look, we can, right? There's six guys. We can get two rooms, three rooms, whatever it is. But times that by 100 days, you know what I mean? At the end of that, that would be an extra $50,000-$60,000 in our pockets. You know what I mean? And they worked normal day jobs, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And that's a big amount of money. So I could always kind of convince them to, like, not, because I think a lot of people, like bands, they get deals or they get on tour and they try to do it big, they get a big tour bus or whatever it may be.
Sure.
And they're like, wait, we had this expense, it was cool and all, but I would have rather had the money when I came home.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
Steve's like,
yeah. I really like the tour bus.
Oh no, I love. Hey, I've done the tour bus thing too, and it's amazing to be driven and
sure.
sleep and you know show
wait,
up and be
wake
yeah,
but, up where yeah. you're at, dude.
It's awesome, but we weren't at that level. You know sure. what I mean? Like you know, we weren't at. I think it would have been silly for us to do it at the level we were at.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Someone told me once. I used to tour in bands too. I was a drummer mm-hmm. also,
yeah.
And somebody told me like it's not what you earn on tour; it's what you save.
Yeah.
That's what matters. Yeah. Like if you're trying to. Like, get, like, four beers and a nice dinner every night, like,
yeah.
you're going to go home with nothing, you know?
Well, we realized we could play, you know, hundreds of shows, and we knew someone in every city that would be like, come stay at our house. We got mm-hmm. extra bedrooms.
So you owned a parking lot that you could park.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, though? So, yeah. like, it was, like, cool. We knew where we were going. It was sure. easy to, you know, for me, as I, like, managed the band, too. So, like, being the neurotic kind of planner and advancer and stuff, like, uh-huh. I had it all squared away and
dude, that's
we did
awesome.
Pretty good.
Are you active on social media?
I'm on social media. I'm not the most active. I should be more. I just the last image that ever comes to my mind is to like take out my phone and take a picture.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like if it's not my wife taking a photo, you
right.
know what I mean? Or my wife doing it.
Right.
I've done some like even in the last couple months, like some really, really cool stuff. And I'm like, I don't have any pictures to share. You know what I mean? I just don't do it.
I've never went back and looked at a photo that I've taken anywhere, ever.
Yeah.
Unless I'm like bored on a plane, just like, fuck. But
yeah.
I don't get the concept of like, you know. Everybody's like, dude, the Samsung Galaxy has the best fucking phone for photo taking. It's like, I'm not a photographer. I don't even give a shit.
I like having, you know, as like a memory thing, but my wife is so good at it that I don't have to think about it. You
yeah.
know what I mean? She takes great photos and of the baby. And
how long you guys been together?
6 years now. Married for 2.5.
How'd you guys meet?
She was a professional golfer, and I was trying to be a golfer. That was another.
And you hired her?
I met her at a golf tournament at like an event, like a dinner, and as cheesy as it is, it was literally like. The minute I saw her, like, we locked eyes, and it was on. Like, we were...
What was your pickup line?
To be honest...
Hi, I'm Agent
she would tell
Banks.
The story. She would tell the story different, because I saw her at this dinner, and I was like, I've got to... Like, I'm just not the person to ever approach someone and be like, hey, you know, like, I'm Frankie. Like, I don't know. Like, what do you do? So I was like, if I'm around her, someone will introduce... I don't know. So, like, I kind of, like, followed her around a little bit, like, creepily.
Yeah.
And... Sure enough, her friend, who she was with, was like, hey, do you remember me? I met you a few years ago. And I didn't. But I was like, yeah. And she introduced me to her friend. And, like, we just sat there and chatted for, like, 5 hours. And
the rest is history.
Oh, wow.
Cool. Yeah.
Sorry, that's epic, dude.
Lame story.
No, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
I was about to ask, do you have anything else to promote that you're not supposed to promote?
I'm going to be on The Surreal Life seriously, on VH1, starting in January, I think it's going to start.
They're bringing that back.
They brought it back, yeah. So they put us in this 30,000 square foot house in Mexico City a few months ago.
Oh, so you already filmed it?
You already filmed it. And I'll say this. I was the nice person that everybody liked, and I got punched twice. So wow. I have no idea what they're going to show, because the producers kept having to come in and be like, this is not what we wanted the show to be. We wanted it to be like fun and light, not like the kind of the old surreal life. It was more train wrecky. They wanted it to be more like us just doing this really cool stuff. And it was
wow.
It was rough.
Can you say who the rest of the cast is?
Probably not.
Yeah, right. I think it's come out. Cool. It's Dennis Rodman.
Amazing.
Oh, God.
Tamar Braxton.
Is that like Toni Braxton?
Toni Braxton's sister, okay. But Tamar, she was a host of like The Talk or The View, one of those. She had her own reality show. She won Celebrity Big Brother. Manny MUA, the YouTube makeup artist, who, to be honest, if he wasn't there, him and Kim Coles. Kim Coles was on Living Single and in Living Color back in the 90s. You definitely would know.
Okay.
If they weren't there,
there would have been a homicide.
Us three, we call ourselves S3, the sober three, because we're the only ones who weren't going crazy. But if they weren't there, there's no way we would have all made it through.
Wow.
No
way.
So Dennis Rodman wasn't sober the whole time?
He's not part of the S3? He's the leader of the S3?
This kid, August Alsina, he is an R&B singer.
Okay.
I don't care if he likes me or not. He wasn't the greatest person, but maybe I shouldn't say that. But he was the one who like had an affair with Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah.
And Will Smith thing.
I feel like she's had an affair with everybody.
Yeah. I mean, even me.
That's the right here. I was 15.
Yeah. It was an interesting group, and I'm really curious to see what they make it look like.
I mean, you sold me, dude. I'm gonna check it out.
It was gnarly.
Wow.
Sure.
Unbelievable. And presumably VH1 will have some streaming platform. But that would be a Paramount Plus
thing. Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's probably their motivation for doing it, to draw more subscribers to Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
I'm glad I asked that, dude.
No shit. Yeah.
Fucking dude.
It's weird because I don't know what the show is going to be. Meaning, like, you know, because they have cameras in the bathrooms. They have cameras. There's not a moment that's not filmed. And you go, I don't know how they can't show some of this stuff, but they're so I don't know if like me being like, oh, it's going to be crazy, and they're like, they cut all the crazy out somehow. I have no idea. So I don't know how much I want to talk shit on people, because there were people I definitely hated in that house.
Wow.
But
for all we know, you might end up looking like a dick on the show if they cut it right.
I can't see that happening.
Okay.
Other than in the last interview I unleashed on everybody, because like, I was like, I don't want to protect these people anymore. They don't deserve protecting.
Wow.
So,
fascinating.
Very juicy stuff. Do we know when that comes out?
I think they're saying sometime in January. I'm not entirely sure.
Wow. Fucking fascinating, dude. I've really, really enjoyed talking to you.
No, it's been cool. It's been fun.
Yeah, man. Do we have any other questions? I feel like
I gotta go set up the venue tonight.
I genuinely feel like I want to be protective. This, I feel like this has been so fascinating, entertaining the whole time. I want to like wrap it up so we don't mess it up. I really think it's been that fucking fantastic, dude.
Dude, I mean, I had questions in my head. I said them all, man. This was awesome.
And then Paul Brisky is absolutely, you know, in your super diehard fan club over there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I didn't have cable, so like Fox was like my thing.
Yeah.
And I'm the middle of three boys.
Nice.
Like I was Malcolm in the Middle, like in my head, you know. So like, he's my mom's loud, my dad's quiet. Like
he's dying to live in Arizona.
He's following you wherever you go. He's getting into race cars. Yeah.
So yeah, let's go home, Frankie. No, but no, this was cool, man. It was really cool to meet you and get to talk to you, man.
Yeah, awesome. Brother, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was great.
How about that episode, folks? Was that epic or what?
Plus, it was brought to you by pube shavers, shit stools, and boner tablets, and I could not be more proud of that fact. So hurry up and get some holiday shopping done, folks. Again, it's manscaped.com/Stevo, squattypotty.com/Stevo, and bluechew.com with the promo Stevo. Yeah, dude. Plus, come see me on the bucket list tour. If you live in America, it's a pretty strong chance I'm coming your way. Whoa! Yeah!
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.